Welcome to The Leverage Point,
a podcast about your development and performance at work.
Improvement doesn't have to be hard
or boring. This podcast is a pragmatist's guide to growth, achievement and success.
Discover your leverage point. I'm Angela Lane.
And I'm Sergey Gorbatov. We're researchers and practitioners in the fields of talent, human performance and behavior.
And together with you, we'll translate science into leverage points.
Today, we're peeling back the layers of a topic that for many is about as welcome as a Monday morning alarm. Performance reviews.
Oh, Sergey, you are not kidding. Just mentioning it can create a collective shiver down the office spine. But as always, we are here to transform that tension into something productive and positive.
Absolutely, Angela. So let's get into this. Performance reviews, a ritual that many dread, but with the right mindset and approach can actually be a great opportunity for growth and development. Navigating your performance appraisal can be much easier if you keep these three things in mind. 1. Handling your emotions. 2. Handling the information. And 3. Handling the future. So let's unwrap this concept and turn your upcoming review from a nail biter into a leverage point.
I have to say, Sergey, I like the optimism. Not entirely convinced as yet. So let's get moving. How do I master this game?
It all begins with handling your emotions. So think Zen. The review's already in the bag. I think we can agree that performance reviews are rarely open for significant negotiations because the managers have already gone through the cycles of performance calibrations, the ratings have been agreed and approved if your company is using those. So this is more like a fact of life.
Okay, so I see where you're coming from. It's like the forecast, can't actually alter it, but I can determine how I'm going to dress for my day. So I imagine where you're going with this is you kind of got to be, you use the word Zen. I'm not particularly Zen, I have to say, but I can be philosophical. I can be stoic. It's happening. I can't change that, but I can definitely approach it from the vantage point of what is there for me to learn. Speaking of learning, preparing for the review, thinking through what's expected is pretty critical, I think, to handling emotions, but also maybe even trying to understand that something unexpected might happen and at least being prepared for the fact that I may not know what it is, but at least I can anticipate it. I can do that. I think I can reflect a little bit on my last year's triumphs. You can imagine there are many, the challenges that we faced, and just get into that mindset ahead of the actual review itself. I can think about stumbling blocks, highlights. One of the things I know is I tend to get a little dramatic as I kind of look back. But, you know, if you reflect, you can actually put things in proportion. So, if we do the critique, we're not going to get blindsided. And it's probably not bad soul searching anyway. This kind of a mental heads up shows that you're on the ball in your meeting as well. And it helps me tackle the feedback maybe a little more constructively.
So true, Angela. Anticipating potential feedback can reduce surprises. But remember, surprises are part of the game because we're rarely as self-aware as we think. And actually, psychology will prove that people are generally unaware. Our personal history biases our view of the world. It's like hearing our own voice recorded. It sounds quite not like you expect. Why? Because the sound travels through the bones and the skull, and that's why we hear ourselves with much deeper voices and others hear them sharper. So the point is that the you that is presented to the world is different to what you think. Our own reality doesn't match to the reality of others.
I love that example, and you're so right. That is so accurate. Few of us like hearing ourselves recorded. I never listen to these and play them back because I can't stand the sound of my own voice. It's like when you kind of get that cringe when you hear yourself speak.
And because we're often self-unaware, the feedback in the review may come as a surprise and not a pretty one. And negative feedback can send us on a wild emotional ride. First stop, seriously? Then the second stop, I'm the worst? And the final destination, okay, let's fix it. The goal is to hop on the let's fix it train as soon as you can. But unfortunately, many stay at stop one, which is denial, or stop two, I'll never be good at this.
So a reminder, the first step, manage your emotions through preparation.
Next one, handling the information. Angela, I know you're a strong advocate for approaching your review with curiosity, almost like an explorer in an unknown land. How does that work in practice?
It's actually fascinating, Sergey. By intentionally adopting a curious mindset, you can really transform the review from a passive experience where you're being told, you know, what somebody has observed, into a really active learning opportunity. You become an explorer, I like to say. You can get to delve into the nuances of your performance. Psychologists find that we reason more wisely when we think about our own problems through a third person perspective. The phenomenon, it's known as Solomon's paradox, suggests that we actually show greater insight and judgment when we're solving other people's problems than when we're addressing our own.
That's a great point. And it ties into embracing active listening, doesn't it? It's about truly understanding the feedback, not just hearing the words. I've always found that during reviews, if you can listen actively, not just preparing your defense or response, you're much more likely to understand and internalize the feedback. For example, after receiving feedback, summarize what you've heard and verify that with your reviewer. You might say something like, I understand I need to improve my ability to achieve deadlines. Is that correct? With that, you gain clarity and verify your understanding.
Absolutely, absolutely. Active listening is really critical, and it's so much more than just hearing the words. It's about listening for that deeper message. For myself, I find note-taking is a great strategy during reviews or any important conversation. It helps you capture the insights, capture any actions. It assures that you don't miss or forget critical pieces of feedback. But at the same time, so that's great for you, right? But at the same time, it is also signaling to others that you are engaged. It signals that you value the feedback that you're being given. And the fact that you're writing stuff down actually also prevents you from having some knee-jerk kind of reaction to the feedback. Cognitively, we can't kind of record accurately and have an emotional response at the same time. So lots of safeguards in that note-taking process.
It shows that you're paying attention. Great news for the manager. Finally, dive deeper by asking questions to open up the conversation. Remember that a review is not a one-way dialogue, but a two-way conversation. If improvement is on the agenda, get the specifics. Ask for the uncut version of feedback beyond what's in the review, as it's likely to be sanitized. Many managers use this practice to put an overly glossed versions of reviews because they know that that stays on record. So ask what's not on record, and often it's more raw and real.
I think that's great advice. It's hard advice sometimes to hear and to act on, but it is really important. The research is so clear. Feedback, whether it's employers, family, and friends, tends to be vague. It tends to be overly positive. And there was some research led by a professor, Krizan, I think is how it's pronounced, at Iowa State. And his studies reflected that we make the wrong trade-off as leaders, as friends, when we think we'll give feedback and we want to boost somebody's self-confidence. So we're going to only focus more on the positive side. We're going to downplay the negatives. And we think that's going to boost performance. But the research shows actually that rarely happens. Telling someone they're great or pretending that there are no skills gaps, no deficiencies when there are, can really undermine somebody's careers. So ask them for it. I loved your expression. Raw and real, please.
More raw and real. Just rolls off the tongue. All right. So let's talk about the third element, which is handling the future. This is why we actively seek specific support, correct?
Right. Once you have, if you think of the process, you've prepared emotionally for the meeting, you've got a good sense of where you sit, but you also understand there may be surprises in the meeting, you have listened well. Ideally now, you are in a great place to ask for more of what you need. So this step is all about, in my mind, clarifying the areas that need improvement, but then tailoring specific requests so you can get some of those needs addressed. So for instance, if I was told, "And you need to improve your project management skills," maybe this is a great time for me to ask, would it be possible to have some formal training in that area? Or perhaps it's the right time for me to say, I would love the opportunity to lead a future project so I can get more experience at that.
Getting more clarity around the support that's available is a very smart approach. And let's not forget to be proactive. If the review lacks specific recommendations, don't hesitate to ask for them. You might consider a question like, what's one thing I need to do differently from now on? Such question can provide very valuable insights. And if your organization uses ratings, ask what you need to change in the way how you deliver results to improve your rating next year. Or you might ask, how can I keep my rating in the green zone? It turns the conversation from a rearview mirror to a roadmap for tomorrow. So why not using this approach, which is called feed forward, to finish the review on a positive note?
Yes, absolutely. And remember, feedback is quite rare. There is a deficit of feedback, a topic we've written about, and we often have too little of it, given what we need for professional growth. So maybe the final ask that you might add, because remember, we're using our performance review to get as much support for ourselves as we can. Maybe the final ask that you might have is for regular opportunities to get formal feedback so that you know that you're on track.
Perfect. So let's wrap up. Remember, performance reviews are not just about looking back. They're about setting the stage for your future success.
So the leverage point here is, if I can embrace the review when others are shying away from it, if I embrace the review, it's a growing advantage. It is a competitive edge for development and growth. And I do that by handling my emotions, engaging with the information, and then using the intelligence that I've got to better learn in the future, plan for the future.
And in that performance review conversation, always end on a positive note. Plan your thank you speech in advance, recognizing that reviews are a two-way street. So thank you, manager. Express appreciation for the feedback. It shows your commitment to growth and professionalism.
So there you have it. You have turned that dreaded performance review into a catalyst for the growth and success that you need. Thank you so very much for joining us today.
Until next time, keep growing, keep learning, and turn challenges into your leverage points for success.